Have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are continuing our series entitled Understanding the Times, Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. Now, I know some of you are saying, Pastor, this is like a long series, and it technically is. I don't necessarily keep track of necessarily series, the length of them per se, but this is going to go on a little bit longer. I don't know how much longer because God hasn't really told me that yet. But I think it is interesting, some of the things that we are discussing, especially in the days that we're living in even right now. Today we're going to take a brief detour from Matthew chapter 24, and eventually we'll get into Matthew chapter 25 as well. But we'll return to Matthew chapter 24 here in the days ahead. This morning, though, the Lord reminded me that even in the midst of all the troubles that this world is going through, and we took a look at the 10 major signs that Jesus indicated that was going to happen during the time of Jacob's trouble or during the time of the Great Tribulation. And even that is true and that is accurate. That is not the things that are going to be in store for those of us that know Jesus Christ, that have a personal and intimate relationship with Him right now. So we're going to take a little bit of a detour of what's happening actually on this earth, and we're going to consider two major events, a little bit of maybe 2.5 events that we'll take a look here in the next 2 weeks or so. We're going to take a look at actually what is happening in heaven during this time that the Great Tribulation is taking place. And this morning, we're going to consider this major event, first of all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says these words. Well, maybe not. Is that passage in there, Ben? If not, that's okay. Should be a Bible, that's the first. No, before. Go before. That's all right. If it's not there, it's okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I apologize, it should be on there, but for some reason I missed that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10. By the way, you always have your Bible as a preacher up here, just in case. Electronics are a wonderful thing whenever they work, right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is done, what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." So as you can see, this morning we're going to be taking a look at the judgment seat of Christ. Now the judgment seat of Christ is also called in the Greek the Bema seat. This is the seat that is identified basically as a platform, oftentimes in which Pilate basically sat upon and was basically judging Jesus. So it's an elevated position, in other words, one of authority. But this is not necessarily even what the Apostle Paul, underneath the inspiration of God, what he was basically giving to the people. This was more of a... Go to the next slide. Let me have control of that again, Ben. There you go. It's the Bema seat. Basically, this was an ancient seat. This is one that they found, I believe it's in actually Rome, that the person of the Olympic Games, they would actually come and they would give rewards by looking at the games that were going on, all the various games that they would do, running and discus, all these different types of things, and then they would be rewarded. Oftentimes, that the reward was given from the emperor or from one of his... supervisors, so to speak, and oftentimes it would be just that of a wreath. So basically, it's almost like a green wreath. It looked like a crown, so to speak, and they would put it on their head, and sometimes they would couple that with oil, but also the recognition there of actually winning the games. And it's very interesting, in the Greek times, they only recognized basically one winner, alright? So that's very interesting. For all those of us that know Christ, we may be running at different paces and things like that, and that's fine, but each of us have the opportunity to serve God and therefore be rewarded. We'll take a look at that in depth even more next week. So Paul was writing this. You can take a look in the book of Romans as well as in 2 Corinthians as well, that the judge was actually giving these different awards to people at the Bema seat. So Paul envisioned Christians as competitors in the spiritual contest receiving their rewards. Now, oftentimes, whenever we think, at least whenever I was younger, I dreaded, like, the judgment seat of Christ. And maybe some of you are there right now as well. You're like, the judgment. As soon as you hear judgment, I don't know about you, but I'm like, Okay, I don't like that. I was like, okay, what does this all entail? What is this activity? What does this event entail for all of us? Sometimes we get false images in our minds, okay? These are some of these images that may come, all right? First of all, you take a look at that. It's a gavel. Doesn't that just seem cold to you? All right, it's like, ugh! It's like sentencing at that point. All right, here's another picture. It's like, I told you! And that's almost like, no! Sometimes certain images can be inaccurate. How about this one? This next one is just disturbing. You're like, oh my goodness. I messed up. I live my life for the wrong things, the wrong reasons. This one is even scarier. You're like, and it's distorted. All right, let me say, each one of these four are, to one degree or another, inaccurate and untrue, especially for the Bema Seat. Now, there are some things, of course, God will test the things that we do by fire, but it's not going to be us that burns, all right? So don't think that you're like, oh, this is the judgment seat of God. It's just going to be horrific for me. No, it's really a time of, I believe, to be blessed for us, and it's something for us to strive and to live for as we live for Christ. We will hear those words even one day, I believe, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I would say those four pictures are inaccurate and even untrue. But this last picture here that I want to show you here amongst this grouping is true. I think that there'll be a lot of crying. I just do. Now some people say, Pastor Dave, there won't be any crying in heaven. Well, eventually God will wipe away all what? He will wipe away all tears. But that's later on. Alright, that's much later on. There will be tears shed in heaven. I believe even during the judgment seat of Christ, we'll take a look at many things that we just disappointed God in. Our faults, our failures, our sins, our offenses, the rewards that maybe that we could have earned. Some people say, all these rewards that God would have given to us, He'll show us that. I don't think God's that cruel. I just don't. But I do recognize that a lot of times we'll miss out on the blessings of God that He would have had for us. And so I do believe that there will be many tears shed during the judgment seat of Christ. This morning, with the remaining time that we have, I want us to consider three questions. The first two questions are really, at the very beginning, they're very easily kind of answered. But the third question is where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning. Question one and number two are actually together, dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. Question one and question two. When and also where will the judgment seat of Christ take place? Let me ask you this morning, where will it take place? In heaven. That's right, in heaven. Now you say, Pastor Dave, well, how do you know that? Obviously, the different references and scriptures here that's given to you. Of course, here is the rapture. That's whenever the saints, we are called up to heaven. So at that point, whenever God calls us home, of course, the people that don't know Christ at that specific point in time, they'll be here upon this earth for 7 years of the great tribulation, or those 7 years. But here during this time period, and somebody will say, well, how soon will it be after the rapture takes place? I don't know exactly how soon. It may be actually a fast, even as I study this, especially next week, I'll get into this a little bit. God's not going to go through every single thing that you have done wrong, right? I think there's actually some validity to that that I've never seen, and I'll relay that a little bit more next week. But the judgment seat of Christ will take place. It could happen, and again, time is a little bit different in heaven than it is here on this earth. We're all about timetables here, and of course, it's about 10 to 11 right now, so we look down, and we're like, oh yeah, if I save you got 20 minutes left, alright? So we look at, we're kind of on a timetable. But in heaven, not so much. Time is irrelevant, but at the same time, I believe that it will happen based on Scripture during this time on earth that the Great Tribulation is taking place. That's the judgment seat of Christ. And then, of course, next week we'll hit on the marriage supper of the Lamb a little bit, hopefully, as well. When and where will the judgment seat of Christ take place? It'll take place, according to the Scriptures, shortly after the rapture. So obviously this place will take place in heaven. It's interesting to me, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle John, the person that had suffered a great deal within his physical body, he was basically going to be at least killed, or at least the people that did this to him, he was actually boiled in oil. Can you imagine that, and then surviving that, the amount of scars and just the turmoil that it took upon his physical body? But John did not die. John gave us the book of the Revelation, and then we see in Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, that Jesus was sitting on the throne in which John saw it. And so it is the case, Christ is in an elevated position even today. He is seated in the heavens, recognized there in the kingdom of God, Lord of lords and the King of kings. And therefore, everyone will one day stand before the throne of God and stand before Him one day. When and where will this take place? Happens shortly right after the rapture, it'll take place in heaven. Now, question number 3 is a little bit more in depth, and I want us to really think through this, especially this morning. Who will appear at the judgment seat? Who will appear at the judgment seat of God, of Christ? Now, I do want to recognize this morning. Only Christians, only those people that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ to save them, will be there at the judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment is for later on, for those people that have not and would not and rebelled against God. And that will be an extremely sad, sad day. And we'll take a look at a little bit of that a little bit later on as well. Well, who will appear at the judgment seat of Christ? It will be Christians. It's interesting that any references to loss of judgment, concerning the judgment, concerning loss, is actually not dealing with a person's soul or dealing with a person's salvation. It's actually talking about a loss of rewards. Salvation has already been settled. If you are there at the judgment seat of God, you have made it to heaven. All right? And all God's people said, amen. That's a wonderful thing for us to recognize. The passage, you say, Pastor Abraham, how do you know that? The passage that we just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 stresses this because it mentions that we are walking by faith. It also mentions some other things there dealing with Christians. In Romans chapter 14, this makes it clear as well. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "But why do you judge your brother or your sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? Or why do you treat each other with disapproval?" This has the idea of brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are family, that we have this bond because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He has saved us, He has unified us, He has brought us into one body, which is His body, which is the universal church. In verse 12 of our text, it says that each one of us will give an account of himself, and of himself there is a generic term, so himself or herself, to God. So the judgment seat of Christ, therefore, involves believers giving an account of their lives to their Creator, to Jesus Christ. The Lord wants me to revisit something here that I just said just a little bit ago, and kind of we can just gloss over things, we can read even the passage of Scripture, and kind of we miss certain things. The judgment seat of Christ does not determine your salvation. That was determined by Christ on our behalf many years ago. I think of the passage found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says this, "He," which is referring to Christ, "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins." For whose sins? For ours. And you can even make it a little bit more personal, for my sins. The things that I have committed, the things that have no justification, the things I've done unintentional or even intentional, those things that God has forgiven me of. He, that is Christ, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not, notice here, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Aren't you thankful this morning that even though you are undone, and even though I believe that the accuser presents us many times and says, "Look what this person has done. This person has known you. They claim you, God." And look what they have done. Day and night, I believe that the accuser, and he's not wrong. But I'm also reminded about Jesus. And all he has to do is point to his nails, pierced hands and his feet, and he's forgiven. They're forgiven. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Because we're guilty. We've all fallen. There's none that are righteous, no, not one. But yet God forgives us. Spectacular. We basically were able to trade our robes of unrighteousness and filthiness in exchange for His righteousness, for His atonement. Pretty amazing. Not only does that have to do with Christ's sacrifice for us, but this is where our part comes in as well. But it's really dealing with our faith in Him. We've placed our faith in Jesus Christ to save us. That is the single most important decision that an individual will ever make on this side of the veil, on this side of glory. It's what have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him or not? John chapter 3, verse 36. Let me go back. I think I went too far. No? One more ahead. Yeah. John 3, verse 18. Jesus speaking here. He said, "Whosoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Whosoever believes in Him is not condemned. In other words, the person that believes in Jesus Christ right now is saved, is delivered from their sins. Notice the second part of that. It says, but whoever does not believe stands condemned. In fact, in the King James, it says that the wrath of God still abides on the person. Not about you. I don't like anybody being mad at me or angry or upset with me. It's kind of a little besetting to me. I don't like it whenever my wife's upset at me, which is very, very few times, by the way. If you believe that, no, I'm joking. Sometimes it happens. You know, in life, we get upset with one another. But think about this. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior this morning, the wrath, the anger of God is toward you. Now that can change in a moment. As you recognize your need of Jesus Christ, that you are a sinner, that you are lost, that you deserve consequences to the direction of your life. In your heart, it's wicked before God, but God through Christ, He made a way for you to accept Him. This morning, I think about this, there's a lot of different messages that are preached throughout the world today. But the greatest message in all the world is this, that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. A pastor can't do that for you. A priest cannot do that for you on this earth. But we have a great high priest that can forgive and that can restore and can make you as white as snow. I don't necessarily know about you. I can't remember the first time that I sinned, but it was early. I'm guessing it was early. I started to recognize early on that there was some mischievousness already in my heart and there was some rebellion there. And I recognized that early on. And then I heard the message that God would forgive me. I didn't deserve it. There's nothing I could do to merit it. But God gave it as a free gift to me. Amazing thing about God's love. He knows all about you, and He knows all about me, and He loves us anyway. That is amazing grace, folks. Doesn't get any better than that. Let that marinate a little bit. Because sometimes we think that we've earned it, or we've gotten to a place that we deserve it. It's all because of His grace. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, and this first part of this verse is so comforting. It It says, therefore there is now no condemnation because of our present relationship with Christ. And you know if you have one or not this morning. If you have that personal, a vibrant relationship with Him, there is no greater peace, no greater joy, no greater love that you could possibly have. And I'm so thankful for that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I love the first part of that verse, and the verse ended there would be like, amen, Pastor Dave, this morning, but the verse continues to go on, and oftentimes we skip this part of it. It says this, who walk not after the flesh, after our evil, after our hearts, our wicked desires, but after the Spirit. In other words, what things are you pursuing after this morning? What things are you chasing after? It has to do with the heart. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We should not look at the judgment seat of Christ as one of being intimidated and dredging in our lives, but rather as God gives us the reward for our lives. Yes, the Bible makes it clear that we are going to give an account of ourselves. The things that we have done in this body, in this temple that God has given to us, we are going to give an account for. Make no mistake about that. Part of this is surely answering for the things that we've done, but I also recognize this. It's the sins that we have, the things that we have uttered and declared before other people and the sins that we have declared before God, God has removed those. So it's not like he's holding our sin against us, all right? God's not going to go back in time and say, Dave, you asked for forgiveness on this certain date. Guess what? I didn't forgive you. He's not going to do that. He's going to remove it as far as the east is from the what? The west. And he's not going to remember it anymore. Man, I wish we could forgive people like that, don't you? So we're going to give an account of ourselves, but the primarily focus of the judgment seat of Christ is being there and seeing what Christ really did through our lives. And then we're going to be rewarded from those things. This distinction is important. The judgment seat of Christ is not the primary purpose for the judgment seat of Christ. Our salvation has already been determined. The Bible is clear that our salvation is by grace through faith in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. It's not through our works. It's through His. Two passages indicate this, especially John chapter 3, verse 18, which you just read a little bit ago. But also in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, it says this, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins. How longer? No more. What a day is coming that even as we right now in the perfect blood of Jesus Christ that we are made perfect, one day that will be the realization. It'll be the culmination whenever we stand before God and we are found in Him and in Him alone. What precious promises are given to each one of us as we appear before the judgment seat of Christ? What a blessed realization that we are not found in our own righteousness, but in His. What a comfort for all those that have known and will accept Christ as Savior and are following Him as Lord. I don't know about you, but one day, I want all of us to be there. I want all of us to be there because that means we're saved, that we were delivered, that we didn't have to go through the great tribulation. I want all of us to be there. There's not one of you that I say, oh, you know what, I prefer that person. I want every single person present here and even in our community to be there that day. I want all of us to be around the throne of grace. I want you to all experience, as well as myself, the splendor and the glory of heaven, of our King. The question is, will you be there? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ to save you? It's not by doing good works. It's not. I don't get to go to heaven because I'm a pastor. Just don't. Not by doing good works. Not by memorizing verses. Not by doing good deeds. It's all because of Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, are you living for Him? Does your life revolve around Him? We sang just a little bit ago the old hymn, Trust and Obey, for there's no other what? For there is no other way. To be happy, to be blessed in Jesus than to trust and obey. Sometimes we forget that as we mature in the faith. Sometimes we're great hearers, but we don't do a lot of doing. Does your life revolve around Christ? Or does it revolve around your job, a boat, a car, family? There's nothing wrong in and of themselves with those things, but if we're not keeping Christ the predominant one in our life for whom we're living our lives for, we're missing it out. We're missing out on all of it. Does your life revolve around Him? If not, it should. He gives us right now the opportunity to evaluate our lives and to see what we're living for, who we're living for, so that we can be different. Now, nobody can start over and begin again, so to speak. But you can start today and have a different ending. And that's what I want for all of us. If we're not living for Christ, today is the time to make those corrections, to discipline ourselves, to follow Him. The choice is yours and mine to make. I pray that we would choose wisely. I pray that we would choose Him.